Moral Azus, wrapping up the week here on CNN 10. Thank you for stopping by. For years, the United States has been wrestling with the problem of drug abuse. In 2016, we reported that prescription drug and heroin abuse was exploding in America. In early 2018, CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta noted that someone died from an accidental overdose every 19 minutes. By the end of that year, CNN reported these deaths occurred every 8 minutes, and now they're happening every 5 minutes. For the first time ever, over a 12-month period, the U.S. recorded more than 100,000 deaths from a drug overdose. That took place from last spring to this spring. Health officials say the spike in overdose deaths started during the lockdowns of the coronavirus pandemic, and they blame that pandemic for playing a role in this. In most of the drug deaths, almost two-thirds of them, opioids, synthetic painkillers, were a factor.
This has been an issue long before the pandemic, but it is clear that the problem has never been worse. And I want to break it down a little bit for you. First of all, the numbers that you see on the screen reflect a one-year period, as you mentioned, between April of 2020 and April of 2021, right in the middle of this pandemic. More than 100,000 people have died of drug overdoses. And to give you an idea, that's a significant increase compared to the year before. But I think it's also worth just digging a little bit deeper and understanding the problem. Most of this is from opioids, and most of this is specifically from a type of opioid known as fentanyl.
This year alone, DEA has seized enough fentanyl to provide every member of the United States population with a lethal dose. And we are still seizing more fentanyl each and every day.
So what exactly is fentanyl? This is an incredibly potent synthetic drug. It's said to be 50 to 100 times stronger than other painkillers. It was developed to help treat cancer patients in severe pain, but it's also been used to cut or be blended with other illegal drugs. Because illicit pills that contain fentanyl are often made to look like prescription pills, some of the people who abuse them don't even know they're taking fentanyl, and it's so potent that it's causing overdoses and deaths. Who's abusing it? Millions. Before the pandemic hit, CNN estimated that more than 10 million Americans ages 12 and older had misused opioids in 2019. We can assume from the new statistics that that's increased over the past year, and the majority of this abuse was of prescription painkillers. So people getting these pills illegally are in greater danger of getting fentanyl-laced drugs. Where are they coming from? The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration says most of the illegal fentanyl is manufactured in Mexico and then it's smuggled into the U.S. Some of it has also come from India and China. Over the years, several presidents have faced this problem. In 2016, the Obama administration set aside $1 billion to address the drug epidemic, which included heroin and opioids. In 2018, the Trump administration dedicated $6 billion to the fight against opioids. And this year, the Biden administration has put $4 billion toward combating overdose deaths. 10-second trivia. What event made Olympics history in 1968? The first Special Olympics, the first United Korean team, the African nation's boycott, or volleyball's Olympic debut? In 1968, the first Special Olympics was held at Soldier Field in Chicago, Illinois. About 1,000 athletes took part in those games, according to Encyclopedia Britannica. They were all from the U.S. and Canada. And now, the Special Olympics organization says 5.5 million athletes from more than 190 countries participate in Special Olympics programs. The organization has always encouraged people with intellectual disabilities to participate in sports, but its mission goes beyond that. The Special Olympics also aims to overcome the discrimination this group has faced. Worldwide, it has more than 1 million coaches and volunteers. It has support from businesses, governments, and individuals, and that includes the world record holder for fastest 100-meter and 200-meter sprints. CNNI's Becky Anderson got to meet, interview, and even train with Usain Bolt.
He was once the fastest man in the world. Usain Bolt won 8 Olympic gold medals before retiring in 2017. But that hasn't stopped the legendary Jamaican sprinter from inspiring fans around the world. And now he's raising awareness for athletes with special needs.
What do you hope your legacy
as the world's fastest man will be for athletes with special needs and others?
For me, it's just all about to show determination, you know what I mean? And for me, it's to see them go out there and work as hard as they do. It also inspires me, you know what I mean? To know that they have a disability, but they never give up. They want to be great athletes also.
Are you going to join me in Dubai?
Okay.
Bolt recently invited Emirati sprinter Hamda Al Husseini to run with him in a charity race at Expo 2020 Dubai. Hamda has more than 15 Special Olympics medals to her name.
When I met Hamda, she was very nervous, but for me it was a big deal to see somebody who overcomes and pushes himself to be one of the best in the world.
Hamda, what does Usain Bolt mean to you?
Usain Bolt is my favorite hero because he's the source of my inspiration. Watching him as he broke the records in the 100, 200 meter and others pushed me to achieve more in my sports career.
For me, it's just to leave a legacy to prove to people that anything is possible. Don't think limits, all about just hard work and determination.
I tell you what, you're going to give me a couple of ideas about what I might do to get myself into shape to be an Olympic athlete. Is that all right?
All right, first, stretching is very important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you don't want to pull anything, trust me, pulling the muscle, it's no joke.
I can't even stand on one leg. That's
next thing you do some drills. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some skipping drills, like there's some skipping drills. Yeah.
Here we go.
Warm up. Then after you feel a little bit warm, then you can do some light sprinting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A little bit of light sprinting. You fancy it?
You know what I mean? You like go.
You know, I've clearly been training,
you,
right?
Bah! Yeah, you sprint out. Yeah.
Yeah! Usain Bolt, inspiring and connecting athletes on and off the track. All we need, really, to end this is a big old. Give it! Thank you.
A researcher at Scotland's University of Glasgow says animals can be active users of technology, but do they want to be? What she did was stick a special kind of phone into a dog toy. Then she tracked how many times her 10-year-old Labrador, Zach, would call her. Zach called a lot, between 5 and 9 times a day. But what's not known is if he really wanted to talk or if he just triggered the call by accident because he wanted to play with his toy. Still, if this idea takes off, researchers hope it'll be used to help the pandemic puppies that are left alone if their owners have to go back to the office. Of course, they'd need a paw set instead of a handset. They'll always be barking into the line. Translation apps for dogs are still pretty rough, and not all of them will think a phone call is a real treat. But hey, at least Zach was the perfect subject. He knew how to work the Labrador receiver. Hey, Fridays are pawsome. It's time for us to scoot, but before we do, we want to recognize the students of Redmond High School. Thank you for watching from Redmond, Oregon. We will be back on the air next Monday and Tuesday before we're off for the Thanksgiving break. So have a great weekend. I'm Carl Azus for CNN.